Hello. Today is Sunday, January 24th, 2016, and I am your host, Sue Brown, and welcome to Info to Rail, your freight train to modern media. How y'all doing tonight? Well, I want to welcome you to our show, and we have a great show in store for you. We're very fortunate to have Director of the National UFO Reporting Center, Peter Davenport, with us today. I think this is going to be a great interview. I'm very excited. First, I'd like to take a little glimpse into the missing persons files, and we're going to rededicate today's show to finding Rosemary Gullett. Here's the letter from her mom that I read before on a previous show. This is an important thing because this is someone's child who is 14 years old and is missing. So this is very important. It says, "Hello, my name is Maureen Gullett, and my 14-year-old daughter, Rosemary Gullett, disappeared 6 months ago. She is missing and endangered. It is presumed to have fallen into the hands of child trafficking criminals. Since she disappeared, I have found images of her online. Her hair had been bleached blonde, then dyed red. As of last seen, she had red hair kept in a bun. However, her looks are being regularly altered to hide her identity. She is using an unknown alias. However, her real name is Rosemary Blue Gullett, and her date of birth is 1101. There is a statewide hunt for her in Oregon. However, it is now presumed she has been taken out of the state. I have begun a nationwide search. I desperately need volunteers from every city in the U.S. to post missing girls notice about Rosemary online, from local Craigslist news post to Facebook pages. Please help me find my daughter. Every day counts, as she is 14, not in school, and endangered. Her date of birth again is 1/1/2001. She is 5'6", weighs 140 pounds. She has hazel eyes. Her hair is thin and straight, dyed and bleached red or maybe another color, past shoulder length when last seen, but may have cut it or worn it in a bun or head covering or other. Freckles on her face and body, razor blade cuts, homemade tattoos on her left ankle, may have gotten other homemade tattoos since she disappeared, tall and thin build, full lips, pretty cat eyes, like peg leg pants, iPhone, social media, smokes marijuana regularly and drinks alcohol. Rosemary has many friends in Portland, Oregon, where she disappeared from, that she contacts regularly on social media. Her possible locations are Portland, Eugene, California, Arcata, Humboldt, San Diego, Seattle, Tennessee, Nashville, Hawaii, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. If you live in any of these, please, please look for her. And you can copy this information and repost it in your town as well. Thank you. I'll post a $1,000 cash reward to anyone who can locate her. Please call me with any information whatsoever at 503-509-0277. And again, you guys, this is really important. This is Maureen Gullett's 14-year-old daughter, Rosemary. And if this was one of your daughters or one of your children, you would definitely want them home where they belong, instead of in harm's way where God only knows what's happening to this poor girl. So we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to have Peter Davenport with us. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back with Peter Davenport. Peter has been the director of the National UFO Reporting Center since 1994. Additionally, he has served as a director of investigations for the Washington chapter of Mutual UFO Network. Peter has had an active interest in the UFO phenomenon from his early boyhood. He experienced his first UFO sighting over the St. Louis Municipal Airport in the summer of 1954, and he investigated his first UFO case during the summer of 1965 in Exeter, New Hampshire. Peter has been witness to several anomalous events, possibly UFO-related, including a dramatic sighting over Baja, California in February of 1990, and several nighttime sightings over Washington State during 1992. His graduate education was completed at the University of Washington in Seattle, where he earned his MS degree in genetics and biochemistry of fish from the College of Fisheries, as well as an MBA degree in finance and international business from the Graduate School of Business. Peter was the founder, was the founding president of a Seattle-based biotechnology company, which currently employs over 300 scientists and technicians. In 1996, he was a candidate for the Washington State Legislature, and in 1992, he was a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives. Hello, Peter, and welcome to Info to Rail, and thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Sue. Thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to this hour and sharing a bit of information with our audience about UFOs and about the material I've collected over the last 22 years or so.
As am I. I am looking very forward to it. Can you start out by telling our listeners about you, how you got started in this and what you do?
Well, I have a pretty diverse background. I've done a lot of things. I've served as a Russian translator. I'm a former flight instructor in gliders. I was the founding president of a biotech firm here in the Washington State area. And so I have a diverse background, but the way I got interested in UFOs in the first place was I saw one. And I think it was about July of, and I think the year was 1954, I was in our family car on the edge of the St. Louis airport watching a drive-in theater or drive-in movie with my mother and my brother. And we witnessed a very, very dramatic UFO event that was clearly witnessed by other people at the theater because they were getting out of their cars and ignoring the movie. They were paying attention to the UFO. And that was my first sighting, as far as I know, and I've been fascinated with the field ever since. In 1991, I became a member of MUFON, and then 3 years later, I had an opportunity to help with the National UFO Reporting Center UFO hotline. And before I knew it, in the final analysis, I was in charge of that hotline, and I've been doing that job for the last 22 years or so.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yep. So I'm fascinated with UFOs. In my opinion, it is, without a doubt, the most important scientific question that mankind has ever been confronted with. Namely, are we alone or are we not? And from my vantage point, after having done this job for over two decades now, we clearly are not alone in this universe. And it appears to me that our planet is being visited routinely.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I've had several people on my show and on the topic of UFOlogy, and several people have actually witnessed this as well. And to me, I don't think there's even a question that we're not alone. I guess the biggest question that everybody asks and that everybody wonders is, what do they want from us? What is their contact for?
I don't think anybody has an answer to that question, certainly not outside the government, not in the field of ufology. Everybody's scratching his head trying to figure out who these creatures are that presumably pilot these craft. I presume they're piloted by creatures because they exhibit very unusual flight characteristics that cannot be ascribed to any kind of aircraft of terrestrial origin. What their objective is, how long they've been coming here, who they are, where they come from, all of that information we don't yet have.
Well, I think that it's very interesting in the aspect that a lot of people kind of connect this with our ancient technologies, the things that we are nowhere near the technology that it seems that these beings have. So it almost makes me wonder if it's not, you know, almost biblical in a sense. And I've had several people on my show who have thought the same way. And that's there's so many questions out there because I myself have never actually seen a UFO itself, but what I saw in the sky, I looked up afterwards, and I was looking through pictures. I just typed in UFOs, and I was searching through, and I saw the same picture that I had taken in the sky, not even 2 seconds down the road from my house, on there on the internet, and I was like, wow. And it was a picture of like the clouds. It looked like something vacuumed the clouds straight up in the air. It was like a hollow spot, but it looked like, you know, it was kind of rigid around the outside, like it had been vacuumed out of the sky at a fast pace. And I had taken a couple pictures of that because I had never seen that before. And that was the most fascinating thing. And then when I came across it on the computer, I said, holy cow, that's exactly almost to the identical of the picture I took. So maybe I indeed think I did see something.
Yeah. Well, you clearly saw something. there are all sorts of strange meteorological events that could cause what you've just described. I have no way of knowing, of course, what it was that you saw or what had caused the cloud formation you described. But clouds are funny things. They can do strange things and appear quite differently from the normal clouds you see under ordinary circumstances. But the UFO phenomenon appears to be very real. I'm taking probably between 20 and 30 reports a day.
Wow.
And my suspicion is all of ufology probably captures only about one out of every 20,000, all 20,000 UFO sightings. For some reason, people are hesitant or unwilling to report them. But there are a lot of sightings that take place, and the question is, who are these people and what's their objective? What are they doing?
Exactly. I think that one of the other questions that's on the climb is there's so many people that are claiming to be abducted, actually taken into these ships, and that the parts that they do remember are parts where they have either had sperm removed or ovum, or, you know, have been probed in some way or another. And there are a lot of them that just can't account for the time that they've lost. So, you know, it kind of makes me wonder why they would be taking these specific things from us as human beings and what they're doing with them.
Yeah. The genetic component of the alleged abduction phenomenon is rather unsettling. It's a curiosity. There are a lot of people who claim that they've been aboard unusual craft. I'm sort of skeptical, and in the type of job I have, a person has to be skeptical, because people are prepared to tell you anything and everything, and you have to be very careful with regard to what you accept as being the gospel, as being true. But I'm satisfied that the abduction phenomenon takes place. I know, for example, Travis Walton quite well. I've seen him on several occasions. I hold him and his story in very high regard. I'm satisfied that the events that he describes unraveled or occurred as he describes them. And that clearly was an abduction case. He was apparently rendered unconscious in front of six witnesses by a beam of light that was shot out of a disc that Travis had approached and was very near to him. I've had a few abduction cases. One that comes to mind immediately is from Pennsylvania, not far from you. The death and apparent mutilation of Todd Sees back in August of 2002, a very suspicious case. And without a doubt, he was killed while he was under the control, apparently aboard a UFO and under the control of the occupants. It's a very interesting case. I've talked about it for over a decade now, and it's very tragic, and it tells us that these events do occur once in a while.
Well, with what I've heard, I have also heard that they are actually taking our body parts and reproducing themselves mixed with our DNA in our body parts to maybe give themselves longer life, or in some way, you know, to know what it's like to actually feel emotion, or, you know, what we feel that they don't, that they lack in their, as themselves in their beings, you know?
Well, that's an interesting theory. There are many, many theories that float around the subject of ufology, and the purpose of our work is trying to figure out which of these theories and which of these claims are correct and which may not be.
Well,
a lot of work that stands before us in trying to separate what's true and what is not.
Well, as I understand, I've on numerous occasions here that the government knows a lot more than they're saying. What do you think the reason for the government keeping this hush-hush from all of us is?
Well, I don't know for sure. I've met with a number of people from the U.S. government, from our federal government, and they're sort of tight-lipped. Every once in a while, you run into one who's not only does he enjoy a position of authority, senior authority, but he's willing to talk on this subject. Back in, I believe it was April of 1997, not long after the Phoenix Lights event, I met with two FBI special agents, and my impression was they were very interested in the UFO phenomenon and very interested in what I could tell them about a certain few cases that we had had. They were interested. They knew about the Phoenix Lights case, for example. And as I recall, they were most interested to know whether we had any information about the disappearance of an Air Force plane and pilot. But I don't know why the government takes the position it does. There have been a few incidents that clearly have involved U.S. government activity, or follow-up activity, I might say, and we don't know why they're not sharing this information with the American public.
Do you believe that the Area 51 exists and that that crash did indeed take place?
Well, there's an area called Area 51. I know nothing about it. I've never been there. As far as I know, I've never met anybody who's been there. But it doesn't surprise me that we have such facilities. Clearly, the government would like to have an area that is free from prying eyes so they can conduct classified projects there. But whether it has any relationship to UFOs or not, I really can't say. I know many people assume it has something to do with UFOs, but I'm not one of them, and I just don't know what they do there.
I almost wonder, and I've heard this on different occasions, if the government's not responsible for some of the UFOs we see. If they are not manufacturing some of what we see, maybe to get us ready for what's really out there.
Well, possibly, but the UFO phenomenon goes back not just to the 40s, it goes back to the 30s, it goes back to the 19th century. We have newspaper articles that describe incidents that make a UFO investigator very suspicious that it might have had something to do with a UFO. Clearly, the U.S. government was not producing UFOs back in the 19th century. That was before we had even managed to fly. And most people assumed we would never fly. But I don't know what motivates the government to keep all of this information hidden from the American people.
I almost think that it would be too scary. Maybe there would be quite a panic.
It could be. My greatest concern, Sue, is the possibility that our government is either influenced or controlled or possibly infiltrated by aliens, and it is directing events to benefit whatever its agenda is, and possibly to the detriment of the American people. That's my greatest fear. When I look at what the U.S. government is doing to the American people, as opposed to for the American people, I get very alarmed. There, for example, a government that is plunging us ever deeper into debt, a government that's trying to disarm the American people, take their firearms away, take away their rights, that concerns me. And I can't, when I'm honest with myself and I ruminate on it a bit, I can't say that this is not consistent with what an alien force bent on taking over this planet might be doing quietly behind the scenes in order to achieve their objective.
I have absolutely believed that as well. So many things have changed, and I'm 44, and throughout my lifetime, the changes that I've seen taking place, especially probably in the last 10 years, are very alarming. The climate change, everything, nothing is getting better. Everything's getting worse. And I've had that feeling as well that, I think you just might be right there, that the government's being controlled.
Most of what is getting worse is being dished out to us by the government. And that concerns me. Whether the aliens are just perhaps nudging or influencing members of the U.S. government, or whether there is overt control, or whether the members of our government even know that they're being influenced is not clear to me.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it is my greatest fear that we have a government that we know nothing about, and they have a secret agenda that is to our detriment and not our benefit.
It's absolutely true. I mean, I look around and there's so many homeless and so many hungry, and, you can't, this day and age, I remember I raised two kids by myself way back in the 90s, and I had my own place, and, I did work two jobs, but I had my own place and I could afford to pay my rent. And now it's like, you can't even afford to pay attention. I mean, it's gotten so out of hand, and I agree. It's crazy. And the fact that climate control, I mean, where I live, by now we should have inches upon inches of snow. And places that have never seen snow before or very rarely ever do, they are just being pounded just underground. And we might have maybe 2 or 3 inches here. So everything is changing as we know it. And it is very scary to me as well.
Yeah. Well, everything changes, of course. And whether aliens are controlling the snowfall, I tend to doubt that. But as I mentioned earlier, I really have no idea what's going on with regard to the UFOs. All I do is collect the reports and urge people, if they've seen a UFO, to report it, not in oral form, but rather in written form, and share that information with the American public or with anybody who's interested.
What is probably the most, craziest case that you have ever gotten, gotten to read about or hear about?
Well, there are hundreds of those cases posted to our website. Probably the most dramatic one, in my opinion, is the Phoenix Lights event back in March of 1997, March 13th. A hugely dramatic sighting. At least 5 objects, possibly 6. We have reason to believe that they were immense by our standards, with regard to how large our aircraft are. One of the objects that hovered over Camelback Mountain for an estimated 5 minutes, witnessed by many, was at least 7.4 miles in width.
Wow.
Those are statute U.S. mile or statute miles. So we're dealing with something that is well outside our limits of understanding. And that was a very dramatic case. There have been many others. We had out here in the state of Washington, April 28th of 1998, a huge disk, about 120 to 150 feet in diameter, according to one of the Navy engineers who saw it, passed right over the nuclear weapons storage bunkers at Bangor Submarine Base out west of Seattle a ways. There are just hundreds and hundreds of interesting reports on our website for those people who wish to read them. Another one that comes to mind occurred in, it was August 15th, 1999, I believe. I think that was a Sunday night. There was an immense flash that occurred over western New Mexico that illuminated the landscape for hundreds, maybe thousands of miles around. The flash was reported from as far south as southern New Mexico and as far north as Wyoming, maybe Montana. And it looks to me, based on the information that came to me as a result of that incident, that a UFO may have blown up over western New Mexico. That's a very interesting case. Again, if people want to read the reports, they can read them on our website for August 15th of 1999. It's one of the cases I include in my presentation, my PowerPoint presentation, because it's so dramatic, and the witnesses provided information that suggests to me that the flash, the epicenter of the flash, occurred right where the ground tracks of three UFOs converge. And that makes me wonder whether that release of light, which was recorded by a number of sky cameras maintained by Sandia National Laboratories, whether a UFO might have been obliterated somehow, either through self-destruction or it was destroyed or who knows what, but it's a very interesting case. The thing that surprises me, Sue, I've lectured on these, many of these cases, I think all three that I just mentioned, and very few people still are aware, have been introduced to the material I have. Very few people are cognizant of the fact that these events have occurred and that they're very dramatic and very unusual.
For some odd reason, a lot of people have a hard time believing, because it only seems that these UFOs show themselves in certain places more than others. Like New Mexico seems to have like huge activity, and you know, just certain places are kind of more pinpointed for a lot of activity versus where I live. You never hear, you know, you never hear of anything as big or as dramatic as you do, like Roswell and stuff like that.
I'm not quick to agree with that. Just a casual look at the data on our website suggests that UFO reports or UFO sightings occur everywhere. Small towns, big towns, every state around the world. UFOs don't seem to observe artificial man-made borders, that is, borders between counties or states or even countries. I've written an article on this for the UFO Journal, published by MUFON, and this was about 3 years ago. I published an article about the only hot spot that I can detect is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And what goes on there, we have no idea. But if people want to see something very interesting, I would encourage them to go to our database, go to our website, go to the database of cases, sort the cases by the state of occurrence, and then go to South Carolina. And they'll quickly see, I think they'll be surprised by the number of reports, and most of all, reports of these red, orange, and yellow fireballs that have been reported now for 3.5 years or so, how they seem to be reported so frequently from Myrtle Beach or North Myrtle Beach, Pawleys Island, and other areas in and around Horry County, South Carolina.
You know, it's funny.
It's a very interesting phenomenon.
It's funny that you say that, because I had a weird feeling when the Rochester girl from here went missing at Myrtle Beach. And there is absolutely no not even a speck of anything that can even indicate, you know, any whereabouts of her at all. No body, yep. No nothing. And you know what? That was one of the first things that came to my mind. And I'm big on missing persons. I'm very big into the, you know, trying to get the word out for missing persons. If there's somebody local, I'll even go out searching. So I'm very, very big on that. But, you know, there's so many cases in which these people go missing and there's never even 1 ounce or one iota of any kind of existence that there's, you know, there's no body, no nothing. And yeah. I wonder how many times these people have actually been taken up in UFOs or something alien related. And that's why we never find any closure or any information.
I'm not familiar with the case you alluded to. When did it occur, please?
This was Brittany Drexel. And she went missing. She left Rochester and went to Myrtle Beach on her spring.
When?
Spring
when?
Vacation. And I know that her parents had told her no, and she went anyway. She had gotten down there, and they showed footage of her leaving her hotel, and she was never seen again. I mean, there is not even one inkling of her cell phone or anything whatsoever that could, I mean, they searched and searched endlessly every possible place that they could. Yes.
What year was that?
Oh, I'm trying to think. That was only back here a couple of years ago. I want to say, let me look.
So within the last several years.
Oh yes, this is recent.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard of that case, but I'm out in Washington State, so I wouldn't necessarily be aware of that incident. That's something that would be local, maybe known locally, but I'm not familiar with it.
It says that she vanished from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, while on spring break without consent, April 25th of 2009. And they have found not one inkling of anything that she is even on this earth, no remains, no nothing.
Yep. And it just, well, my first suspicion always is the perfidy of my fellow man. They're capable of any kind of evil behavior. So unless there's evidence suggesting UFO involvement, it's only only conjecture that there might have been a UFO involved.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that that's the case at all, but being as involved with these missing persons cases as I get, I mean, I am constantly, you know, every show I do at least two missing persons at the beginning of every show just to get the awareness out there, because I mean, my show is all over the place. And, you know, I have guests on here right from the places that these people go missing and the surrounding areas. So I push it every show because I have 4 girls and I could not imagine one moment of my life not knowing where my kids are. But there's just so many cases that have never been solved, and there hasn't been, you know, it's like they vanished without a trace. And it almost makes me wonder how many of these are alien related. And nobody's even looking at that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think David Politis is looking into that angle. He's written several books regarding the missing people principally in national parks. It turns out that national parks are the one area in our country where a person is most likely to disappear with no trace, ironically. Isn't that unusual?
I've noticed that, though. It's been big.
Have you read any of his books, Missing 911?
I have actually scanned through them. I am in the process of trying to get a hold of him to see if I can get him on my show, because he is somebody who is really in touch with the same things I am. I said, I'm very, you know, to me that I feel like that's what I was put here for, not only to do what I do with my show because I love what I do and I've been given this gift from God, but for me, I have such a passion in at least bringing closure, if not bringing these people home safe. So yep. I think that that would just be such an amazing interview to do. But this is something I think that the UFO phenomena has exploded in the last few years so big that, I mean, it doesn't really matter where you go on the internet. Everything is UFOs and aliens now. Do you think we're going to ever have exposure? Do you think the government's ever going to come out and tell us the truth?
No, I don't think so. That's one of the things that makes me wonder whether our government is somehow working in collusion with one or more alien species. Again, my greatest concern. And I don't think that... I don't think I'm too far from the mark, actually. I think it's a reasonable question to ask.
I do as well. I mean, look, there's just too much hidden. I mean, it's supposed to be we the people for the people, and everything kind of seems to be against us.
Yep. And I'm concerned by the amount of influence, even the interference, that law enforcement now has in our lives and how... even local law enforcement is becoming heavily militarized with all sorts of equipment. And that, too, would be consistent with an alien presence in our government that is interested in ever more control of the American populace.
Absolutely. I do know that it's been right out on C-SPAN and other things that I've listened to that the government has every opportunity to, you know, they can control anything that goes on in your life from, you know, certain algorithms that they can put through your TV set to cause you to have a heart attack. And there, you know, I've read so much about the control that the government seems to have on us. And
you know, that it would be hard for me to. I'd have to see the evidence. I was born in Missouri 68 years ago, and I think I'd have to see the strong evidence that would convince me that anybody could induce a heart attack with a television, an algorithm in your television. That's, I can't say it's impossible, but again, I'd have to see the evidence that that's the case.
It has something to do, I guess, with the flicker rate that they can control from their end. I don't know. It's like I said, I have a lot of guests on my show, so I touch down on a lot of topics with them on this type of thing. And it all just seems to kind of come together with what you said tonight. And, you know, I'm beginning to really be convinced that you are right in this, in the area that I think that our government is being controlled. And I think that it's going to end in a big disaster for us.
Yeah. One, you asked about unusual incidents earlier. One I'd like to share with our listeners, and that is the fact that President Bill Clinton may have been injured as a result of the Phoenix Lights UFO event. That was the night, you may remember this, you're old enough to remember clearly back 18 years ago, but
yeah.
He was golfing. He had flown from Washington, D.C. down to Florida to spend the day golfing with Greg Norman, the professional golfer from Australia. And President Clinton overnighted at Greg Norman's home that night, and that was the night of the Phoenix Lights events, March 13th, 1997. But that is also the night that President Clinton allegedly injured the ligaments in his knee to the extent that he had to be rushed back to Washington, D.C. We also, and this is a third interesting aspect of it, we also have what I consider to be fairly strong evidence that the U.S. military was elevated from Defense Condition 5, normal peacetime status of our military, skipping 4 altogether, they were raised to Defense Condition 3 in one step. I have what I consider to be credible evidence, credible testimony to the effect that that actually took place. And it raises the question of whether all three of these events may have been connected. Clearly, the Phoenix Lights event was of such dramatic nature that it quite easily could have triggered the military to declare a defense condition three. After all, one of those objects, one of those very large objects that were over Phoenix that night was intercepted allegedly by two F-15 fighters. We have reason to believe that they were part of the president's Air Force One and Air Force Two protection detail. And that's the reason they were scrambled from Luke Air Force Base that night, was because they were sitting on hot pads ready to go.
Wow.
But they filmed that object with their gun cameras. They had three video cameras photographing that object. And those videos were quickly taken somewhere at very high speed and in an executive jet that was chaperoned by one of the two F-15s that had intercepted the object. So there was a lot going on that night. That's one of the more unusual events that I've stumbled upon. And it was just, I think, about 2 years ago that President Clinton was on a late-night television talk show. And he just spontaneously brought up the subject of UFOs. I'm not sure it had been scripted for him at all. And he claimed he didn't know much about it. Well, I dispute that. I think he knows much more, as does every president, much more about the UFO phenomenon than they are sharing with the American people.
I agree.
And I criticize them for that because they work for us. That's what the Constitution says.
Absolutely.
They are public servants, not masters.
Absolutely.
And if we go too far down this road where they masquerade as masters, the Constitution gives us the authority, we the people, the authority to disassemble this government and start afresh.
That's right.
I would rather have the American people do it at the ballot box. That's much more convenient, much cheaper. But I want to know what the truth is about UFOs, and I want to know what the relationship might be between the UFO phenomenon and the American government and what it's doing to the American people today.
As do
they
I.
Are they're manipulating us mercilessly.
Absolutely.
The Federal Reserve, the law enforcement, the alphabet of agencies that are spying on us. You can't take a deep breath without having the federal government know about it. And this is improper. This is not the way this country was set up to be.
No, I absolutely agree with you there. It has gotten to the point, I know. I mean, you don't even have to be a famous person in the spotlight anymore, and they know just as much about you.
Yeah, that's for sure. They can find you in a matter of minutes or perhaps even seconds if they want to.
Absolutely.
That's what cell phones allow them to do.
I think one of the scariest things for me is when you hear that, you know, they talk about putting the militia out on the streets and, you know, we'll have a curfew and all this other stuff. And it's like, wow, we are prisoners in our own places and we've done nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is scary, you know, to
yes,
know
it
that.
Is.
That if I'm walking down my main street where, you know, I like to walk and window shop, that one day there's going to be militia out there that tells you what you can and can't look at. And, you know, eventually, if we're going to have vouchers on what we can and can't buy, when we can and can't go shopping. And it's very scary. And I see what it's leading up to, you know,
yep.
And the fact that gun control has become such a big issue. That is very scary that they are allowed to have guns, you know, but we are not.
We do not, yes. And they want to know about every firearm that every citizen owns. This is improper. Again, they work for us, not the reverse. And the American people are going to have to assert themselves and put their foot down very, very hard.
I think that I do agree with gun control in the fact that we got to be careful who's allowed to get their hands on guns, as some of these people are mentally unstable who just, as soon as they can get their hands on a gun, will go in and shoot our children in schools and, you know, stuff like that makes me crazy. Where I live in Canandaigua, we had a kid who got his hands on a gun and very, very lucky that he took himself out first. But the plans that he had laid out, one of the first places, the first classrooms he was going to take out with a Molotov cocktail was my daughter's class. And that was very scary in itself that, you know, we need to protect our schools and our children from, I mean, I'm scared to send my kids to school. Every day there's another shooting somewhere else. And these unstable people can get their hands on these guns, but at the same time, law-abiding citizens who have never done anything to break even the smallest law, they have to fight to get a gun, and then they have to go through, you know, all this rigmarole just to protect their families and themselves from the evil that has come about on us.
Yeah. Well, there's no controlling human behavior. There will be mentally unstable people as long as there are human beings on this planet, I'm afraid. And if they can't get their hands on a firearm, they'll find a hatchet or an axe or a dagger or a sword or a steak knife or a meat cleaver. They'll find something to achieve their demented ends. So.
Well, the point is, though, the guns are not our problem. The people are our problem. I mean, you don't take spoons away from overweight people because we have a obesity problem. You don't take knives away from people because they might stab each other. It all just seems like we're being, you know, forced to not be able to defend ourselves, and sadly against our own government. Like you said, they work for us. Then, why are we the ones that are unprotected?
Yep. So, but this is a far cry from UFOs. And
it is, but I think a lot of it ties in together. It's scary.
It may, and I worry about that all the time. It's certainly a possibility, and when you look at what the government is doing, I would say maybe even more than just a mere possibility. They're appears to be a fairly strong possibility, in my opinion. But I have no proof, and without proof, you're still at ground zero.
Right. It's just hearsay, of course. Yep. I watch a lot of movies. I'm somebody who, as soon as a movie comes out that has to do with aliens and UFOs, no matter how far-fetched I think it might be, I have to watch it. And there's been some pretty, you know, pretty out there ones. But you see these ones where the big mothership comes down and it hovers over the whole city and it kind of causes mass destruction in the whole city and just starts taking out everything. Do you think that that's a possibility for our future, or do you just think that that's something that's put on the screen?
I don't know, Sue. All the work I've done in the field of ufology notwithstanding, and all of the reports I've collected notwithstanding, they still, nevertheless, do not allow me to see future events clearly. And I'm not sure I understand any more about the UFO phenomenon than I did when I first started taking reports, when I first became the director of the National UFO Reporting Center. I regrettably do not have any idea with regard to what it all means. And I don't know where it's leading us, but it is important enough an issue that I think we should have an all-out effort to try to understand what's going on. And that's what keeps me motivated to do what I do. The government should be doing what I'm doing. The press should be doing what I'm doing. The American people should be pressing their public servants for information and voting people out who lampoon people like me. They may be unwitting or perhaps knowing dupes of the UFO phenomenon themselves. That's a far out proposition, but I'd like to see people in government who are receptive to this phenomenon.
When do you, in all of your time doing what you've been doing with the UFO Center, when do you think the highest volume of UFO sightings started coming in?
It's very difficult. Well, the volume of incoming reports is very, very simple to measure. You just look at the reports in our database, and that will tell you when the when we have peaks of volumes of reports. But whether the reports have any bearing on the frequency of visitation by UFOs, there's no correlation because, for example, one sighting of a UFO by 10 people at the same time can generate 10 UFO sighting reports, but that doesn't mean they're 10 UFOs. And in order to be able to answer your question, which is a very reasonable question, it plagues a lot of us, it intrigues a lot of us, you have to go through the data and very carefully determine which of those sighting reports might have been of the same object. And that's very difficult to do without a great deal of interview, a lengthy interview with the witnesses. It's hard to say whether one disc seen in St. Louis is the same disc that was seen in Kansas City 2 minutes later, for example.
That makes sense.
These are questions that serious-minded UFO investigators struggle with all the time, but I don't think we have any answers to them at all yet.
Well, I'm really hoping to, you know, as a collective, maybe we can find some answers because, you know, this is something that, to me, I'm very interested in all of this. I have, like, the most curious mind. I love to learn. And that's why I do what I do, because, you know, it gets me out there in the arena and I get a chance to, you know, actually be able to sit and experience somebody else's experiences through them. And to me, that is amazing. But, you know, I think that you're right. I think as a collective, we need to fight and dig deeper to find out exactly what is really going on. You know, yep. What is this all for? I mean,
I'm disappointed that members of academia have not paid enough attention to the UFO phenomenon to realize that it's very real and of great, tremendous consequence to mankind. And many of them just turn their noses up at those of us who are interested in this phenomenon and just assume that there's no substance to it, which absolutely is not the case. There certainly is substance to it. And again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, I think it's the most important scientific question that's ever confronted mankind. Are we alone or are we not? Clearly, we are not alone, from my vantage point anyway.
Well, I do a lot of paranormal researching, and that is also kind of at the same level with ufology, that a lot of people do not experience these things, so therefore they do not believe them. And that is, you know, become, if I didn't see it, then I don't believe it. You know, same as kind of everybody's faith in God falling out because they don't see him, they don't believe him. Well, I've experienced from my own personal experiences a lot of paranormal stuff that's happened to me with, you know, spirits that have passed, and I've had people on my show who have experienced things with a lot of demonic entities that never really lived, but they still exist. So I think for a lot of people, they haven't exactly experienced this issue one-on-one, so they, you know, tend to say, you're crazy, or, you know, that's just something to make money off from. Well, you know, for me, it's there's so much out there that we have not even come close to scratching the surface. So for me, it's that excitement of and that curiosity of what's really out there and what's really going on. So I'm really hoping that somebody does, you know, scratch the surface deep enough to give us some answers.
Well, I think ufology is getting closer to the mark, and I would encourage any of our listeners who are interested in the technical side of things to go to our website, ufocenter.com, and read my 16-page paper on the use of passive radar for detecting UFOs. It turns out that now, because of developments in computer capability and because of other technical advances, citizens now can purchase enough computer software and hardware to be able to set up their own passive radar system. And that will allow us to detect UFOs and to distinguish them from things like satellites or high-altitude airliners or migratory flights of migratory birds. And this is very exciting, but I made this proposal 22 years ago this month and have been unsuccessful in getting enough funding to be able to build a prototype and start deploying these sites across the United States to detect UFOs directly, rather than having to rely on very weak eyewitness accounts or very fuzzy photographs. It's time for us to take ufology into the 23rd century and start detecting UFOs directly ourselves and reporting that to the American people. It's clear the government must detect these objects all the time. Now it's our turn as citizens to start doing it and sharing that information with our fellow citizens in this country.
I agree. I'm definitely looking forward to reading that paper. Like I said, that to me, that is learning. That's what I do this for. I get so excited every interview that I do, because every single interview I do, I learn something new. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading that paper. That is amazing. I did not know that technology was out there, that we could actually do that. But I'm on board. Well, I think that is amazing.
Yeah, governments have been trying to perfect passive radar for almost 50 years now. And when my paper was published, I wrote it in preparation for a presentation at the MUFON Symposium in Denver in July, I think the second week of July of 2004. And MUFON posted my paper to their website. And the day my paper was posted there, I got a call from a very senior officer at the Central Intelligence Agency who called to congratulate me on my line of reasoning. And he said, towards the end of our conversation, if I am successful in building the type of radar system that I describe in my paper, I will be successful in answering the question of whether UFOs are real or not. And governments now use this type of technology, but the U.S. government has taken the position that no U.S. citizen is authorized to purchase such a system. I don't think they could prevent a person from building his own system, but commercially available military passive radars, the U.S. government does not allow those to be sold to individuals. And it's probably a moot point anyway, because the prices I have seen on the internet for these systems range from $5 to $22 million per unit.
Wow.
But we can do that for vastly less. Our engineering team estimates that we could build a system, a prototype, for probably $750,000, maybe less than that. Probably a third that amount if we could get an investor who had access to programmers. But we could cover the entire United States and Canada with probably 6 or 8 of these units, and we could feed the information that they collect into a central website and let the American people see with their own eyes what's going on above the United States.
That would definitely be an interesting thing. I think that we all do have the right to know what's going on, considering it directly affects us.
Yeah. I do too.
Can you again tell us your website so that I can make sure that that gets out there to the listeners? Because this is very, very exciting, and I want them to be able to have the chance to go on and check out your website.
Yeah, we have about 103,000 reports posted there, and we just updated that website last night. So it's, or I guess Friday night. So most of the reports are posted that we've received are posted there. It is simply ufocenter.com, ufocenter.com, nine letters, one word. And there's another avenue to the same website that people sometimes use. It's nuforc.org for National UFO Reporting Center.org.
Okay.
Or nuforc.org.
Well, that's definitely a must for the people out there who, you know, there's so many people that are on the same wavelength as us that are very curious and who want to get to the bottom of it as well. And
you bet.
For us to be able to go on and actually, you know, have the opportunity to read these reports, I think that is amazing because a lot of us, we have no idea what goes on outside of our, you know, our backyard.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage anybody to visit the site, but I would also like to encourage them, if they've ever had a sighting of what they think may have been or probably was a UFO, I would encourage them not to call the hotline. They don't need to call the hotline, really. I would encourage them to immediately sit down and write out a written account of what it was they saw or experienced and spell check it, correct any errors they might find in their original version, and then copy and paste it into the description box of our report form, fill in the other boxes, and send us a report. Again, I go back to a statistic that I think I mentioned earlier. I believe that all of ufology is capturing perhaps only 1 out of 20,000 sightings. And it underscores how much work there is to be done to capture those other 19,999, because those are probably every bit as interesting as the ones we have captured. It's just that we don't have access to that information unless the witnesses submit it. And most witnesses want to talk about their sighting. We're trying to get them to write about their sighting. Talking about it is a waste of time. It just heats the atmosphere. And we're trying to get them to record the details of their sighting and submit those details as a formal written report.
Well, I definitely think that's a good idea. And, you know, we got to get the word out there. And, you know, even if it's the smallest thing that you have encountered, it's very important to get that out there so that, you know, it can be known.
Yeah. And I encourage any of our listeners to go to our website if they're interested in this phenomenon of red, orange, and yellow, amber, or gold fireballs. We have posted many, many such reports, and we also have some rather intriguing photographs and video posted to our homepage going back 2 or 3 years anyway, maybe even longer. But it is, in my opinion, and Roger Marsh, who is the editor of the UFO Journal for MUFON, he and I speak to one another. We talk over the telephone pretty frequently. And I've written several articles about this phenomenon for his journal. I think ufology, I think MUFON is now taking an interest in the phenomenon. And in fact, they've assigned Erica Lukes, who is the state director for MUFON in Utah, is now delving into this phenomenon, trying to get a better handle on it and trying to understand the phenomenon better than we already do.
Well, my hat's off to those that are digging in. And, you know, I really, really hope that we can have some answers here soon as to what is going on. I mean, we know we're not alone. We already know the answer to that. We are definitely not alone with the amount of experiences and the call, you know, the reports that you guys are getting in daily. We know we're not alone, but the big question is, Why?
Yeah. And I often wonder, and this is pure conjecture I will share with our listeners. I've never shared this thought before. My instincts, for some reason, are suggesting to me that the UFO phenomenon is somehow, some way related to religious teachings. I'll focus on Christianity and the Bible. I think they are somehow related, and we may not know the truth about the UFO phenomenon until there is some kind of crisis occur on this planet. And it appears to me that we are approaching crisis-like conditions faster than ever has been the case in the past. And when I say crisis, I'm alluding to a financial apocalypse. This government of ours has heaped up $18 trillion in debt. They're playing games with the markets. There are all sorts of social instabilities, disequilibrium of income, destruction, therefore the destruction of the middle class. All sorts of things are taking place that are alarming to any reasonably minded person who tracks them. And people often say, well, will the UFO phenomenon happen first, or will it be the financial, or I don't know. I'm conjecturing here, but my suspicion, the way crises usually occur, is it will all occur at once. Yeah. And people will have their hands full just trying to survive and protect their families.
Oh, I agree with you there. I always wondered, you know, if religion was some sort of a control measure used in the UFO, you know, by the UFO phenomenon and, yep. you know, the alien race, if religion was in place set there to control us, especially, I mean, I am a firm believer in God. I always have been. But sometimes you wonder, you have these Ten Commandments and, you know, it's thou shalt not. It's never you should do. It's you should not. And it just kind of seems like we're all being controlled and manipulated in a way that, you know, you don't step out of line. And it kind of doesn't match up with me to the kind of God that would create us to love us, you know.
Well, I too am a Christian. I'm intrigued by Christianity. I think man has been told, he's been given guidelines to how he's to conduct his life on this planet. And it could be the case, I often wonder this, Sue, again, this is a mere conjecture, just one person's opinion. I oftentimes wonder whether this very brief glimmer of consciousness we call life might just be the first day of kindergarten in a long education of that will occur in our futures. This may be an incubator to separate those people who will move on from this planet from those people who will not be allowed to move on for one or more reasons. But going back to your question, I encourage people to go to our website, ufocenter.com, and if any of your listeners have had sightings, no matter whether it was 8 minutes ago or 8 decades ago, we would like to have them write that down. And I'd specifically request that they put your name, mention the fact that they are submitting a report because of this program, and maybe we can do another program in the future and focus on the reports that have come in from some of your listeners.
Absolutely. That would be great. I have some very, very loyal listeners, and many of them are absolutely, you know, very into the ufology as well. So I'm very much hoping that whoever has actually had an incident of any kind will definitely, you know, send reports. And so I'm hoping that you'll get a good amount of reports from this show.
I hope so. And if we get them from your listeners, I will set them aside. I'll mark them. And maybe we can talk about them during a future program.
That would be absolutely wonderful. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us. I learned a lot just from this interview, as I do my interviews. I love what I do, but, you know, I love this because this gives the listeners and the audience a chance to, you know, a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people, or they don't know how to go about submitting what they've actually seen or witnessed. And this is giving them an opportunity not to be afraid, you know, just come forward and you know, do the report and let you guys know exactly what it is that they've witnessed and share.
Yeah. Well, we would love to have their reports. We hope they enjoy the material on our website. And you're a wonderful hostess to work with. It's been very exciting, and I respect your just how broad-minded you are on some of these subjects, and the fact that you would invite somebody on to talk about the subject of ufology. It's really quite flattering for somebody like me to have a hostess like you reach out and say, I'd like to have you on my program and hear what your thoughts are and what your experience is in the field of ufology. So I'm indebted to you, and maybe we can do another program later this year.
Well, thank you. I'm very blessed that you took the opportunity to come on here with us, because, you know, I think that's what the world is all about, is sharing with one another and, you know, kind of experiencing things through one another. And I'm just very, very thankful that you took time out of your busy schedule, and I would definitely love to have you back on the show. You are great.
Okay. Well, thanks again for the time, the airtime, and love to hear from your listeners. If they have any complaints or any comments, they can contact me directly, director@ufocenter.com. And again, if they have experienced sightings in the past, I would encourage them not to think about them, not to talk about them, write about them and submit written reports. And that will allow us to share their reports with, oh, up to 25,000 people a day come to our website, and will allow all those people to be aware of another person's sighting. So it's very important they do that.
Absolutely. And again, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good week, and thanks again, Sue.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
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 You guys, that was an amazing, absolutely amazing interview. He is a very interesting man, Peter is. And, you know, for me, I am just absolutely grateful that my guests take time out of their busy schedules. We're all kind of busy with life. But when somebody takes the time out of their schedule to come on and share with you, I mean, especially somebody with a job like his, you know, I am absolutely just so grateful. And first and foremost, I want to thank God for the talent he gave me to do this and the ability to be able to bring this stuff to you guys and share with you guys. And I want to thank my guests so much and my listeners. You guys have made this possible for me as well. And I just want to thank you guys. And I just want to take time to let you guys know that I appreciate every last one of you for your support and taking time to be with us. Well, that's all we have time for today. We post our shows on YouTube. And if you want to know more about our guests and upcoming shows, please visit our Info to Rail webpage. Just Google Info to Rail and click on the Google Sites page. Again, I want to thank you guys all for joining us here at Info to Rail. You make it possible. The guests and the listeners, you guys are amazing. We hope to see you here each and every week. We got some great guests coming your way. So please feel free to join us and hang out with us. If you have any questions or anything that you'd like to hear a topic about, I urge you guys to send me an email, infotorail@gmail.com. Let me know what kind of guests you want to hear from, and I'll see if I can get them on the show. Also, I'd like to reach out to anybody who has any ghost stories that they'd like to share, any paranormal that they've experienced. I would like to do a segment with them and put a whole show together where each and every one of you can call in and Skype and give your account of your ghost stories and your paranormal experiences. And I would like to make a show out of that. So, you know, if you've got a paranormal story, shoot me an email at info@rail.com, info2rail@gmail.com. And we will definitely put that show together. So the more responses I get with your, you know, with your paranormal stories, I can get back in touch with you and we can do a Skype thing and get you guys all out there so your stories can be told. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you in these uncertain times. We'll see you soon.